from St. Anthony Parish, Alston, Massachusetts.
Last week we heard the famous parable of the prodigal son, which I added, because of its popularity, gets somewhat distilled down from its original message in some circles. And as true as that is for last week's parable, it's even more true for this week's gospel. Here we have the famous account of the woman who is caught in adultery. And I hear the same interpretation of this all the time. And it's frustrating because, in fact, often the interpretation is not fully accurate. What we see is an example of Jesus' mercy, but also of his justice. It is the latter part that we often miss. I can sum it up here. How many commandments do we see broken in this parable? It appears to be one, but in fact, there are at least two. This is mob violence in full view. So Jesus is approached by this crowd who say they caught this woman in adultery. They tell him that Moses said that she should be stoned to death. The law they were referring to is in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, verse 10, the famous book that many know of rules that call for people to be stoned for various sins. If we follow the book today to the letter, we will successfully reduce the population and become a boon for the funeral business all in the space of 1 week. The law was simple. If the act of adultery happened in the rural areas, the woman was not to be stoned to death, but to be put away somewhere. The reason is there was the risk that the sexual activity was not consensual. If she cried out for help in the rural areas, it's possible that no one would hear her. This is the law that Joseph invoked against Mary before he learned in a dream she was speaking the truth. Notice he acted in obedience to the law, but mercifully. He was a just man. That makes this account so much more unique. Notice the benefit of the doubt went to the woman. In the city, this did not apply because it is by definition a more populous area, and therefore there is less of a chance that her cries for help would not be heard. So the punishment is to be stoned to death. The law is that both man and woman should be stoned to death, and the ones who should throw the first stone are the ones who were the first witnesses. So the law required that both man and woman are stoned to death by the ones who caught them. Where is the man? He is just as guilty as the woman, and by definition, he should be in front of Jesus as well. That too is the law. Therefore, what is happening is the accusers are not only witnesses to the event, but they're also committing the sin of bearing false witness for not bringing forth the man whose identity they know. They're breaking a commandment as well, and breaking one commandment is just as bad as breaking all the commandments. Therefore, they are as guilty as she is. When Jesus says, "He who has no sin among you, throw the first stone," he is doing something powerful. Jesus did not have the authority under Jewish or Roman law to call for the execution of anyone. A writ of execution still had to be decreed by the Sanhedrin after they heard a case and they needed Rome's permission. He therefore authorizes her execution by calling their bluff. St. Jerome says that what he is writing on the ground is their names. He cites Jeremiah 17, where Jeremiah is calling them rebels enrolled in the netherworld. We actually have no proof that is what Jesus wrote. In either case, it's not complimentary to those who are accusing the woman. It is the worst condemnation one can make against them. It's like writing their names in the book of damnation, which is exactly what Jeremiah's image means in Jerome's point. Therefore, this parable is not only about the mercy of God, but also about the justice. It may also highlight an important point. In the Old Testament, the prophets often rallied against following the law without mercy. God says through them that it is mercy he desires and not sacrifice. And if they're following the laws without mercy, they are actually an abomination to him. Let's go back to the sins in Leviticus in light of church teaching. The church does not call what is a sin to be not a sin, but it does understand different levels of culpability. Show mercy to the sinner before you show judgment. You'll see God's mercy come upon you before his judgment. Show judgment to the sinner before you show mercy, and you will see God's judgment fall on you before his mercy. This is why the main focus is to love another first. This is not what the crowd of witnesses were doing. They were dehumanizing her, manipulating her for their gains, and it's very possible that they even entrapped her or even set her up. They were hell-bent on destroying Jesus, and they thought they had set up the perfect plot. Their pawn was this woman caught in adultery, whom they were willing to kill for their political agenda. They were not just people who had sin, they were filled with sin that was at least as bad as hers, if not worse. And Jesus called them on it. If they did not repent, then you can imagine how angry and how hard-hearted they would become, while we continue to see this throughout the rest of Lent. Finally, notice that Jesus does not call them to repent. He calls them sinners and forces them to condemn themselves by not throwing the stone. He does tell her to repent and not to repeat the sin, or something worse will happen. Jesus is merciful to her, but cannot control the lack of mercy of others. If she returns to the sin, she can expect that they will entrap her again. We have the same thing today. Saul Alinsky taught that to destroy the church, you must go after her sins. It is the same method used by the accusers of the woman caught in adultery, and for the same reason, to destroy the message of Christ to the world. Those who obey Christ will see through the manipulation and know the truth. Those who don't will become subject to those using manipulation, and they will be subject to that manipulation that seeks to make the world the way they want it, whether it's a just world or not.